Chapter 61. Final Audience. I walk between the litters, bearing Mika and Chidan, feeling unmoored. Mika was caring for me before Selen was even born. I have no memory of life without her. And any joy in Prince Olive's life came from Chidan. Without them, everything is shattered. I want nothing more than to be alone, to mourn. But the men look to me, and we are still in the enemy's territory. I keep my back straight and my eyes up, wary of danger. Some part of me, detached from the anguish and pain, keeps talking, listening to reconnaissance and issuing orders. But enveloped in the protective shroud of Darin and Rojva's music, nothing threatens us as we leave the demon Great Ward. All of us hiss and hold up hands to block the morning sun as we emerge from the Undercity. Time was meaningless in the eternal night below. It feels like we were underground for weeks, but the Sharum carried no provision, and none of us have eaten or seem hindered by the lack. I am not even hungry. It's the morning after waning. The city is in ruin. Dead Sharum litter the streets next to stinking piles of ash, alagai who have seen the sun. Buildings that stood for 1,000 years and more are reduced to rubble. The domes of great palaces cracked like eggs. But the storm is over. I intend to be far from Desert Spear by the next full moon. And without us, there is little reason for Alagai Ka to return. Only the holy city remains untouched. It is bigger than the remaining Maja require, and the oasis at its center can feed thousands. The clerics will have no choice but to share its luxury now, with the rest of the city destroyed. The arms of Everarm lower their spears at our approach to the holy gates. Prince Olive, by order of the Demargi, we place you under arrest. Drillmaster Zim lets out a low growl, and my spear brothers cluster around me. Prince Olive put a blade into Alagai Ka himself and saved us all. The guards glance at one another nervously, but I've seen enough conflict. It's all right. I step past the soldiers guarding me, gently easing their spears aside. I will stand before the Skull Throne one last time. Belina wails when Iraven's body is brought before the Skull Throne. She breaks away from the Council of Darmating to throw herself upon the litter bearing her son, weeping openly as her sisters in white collect her tears. Even Charvis kneels beside her, as Eleveran and the Council of Dharma look on impassively. The ritual is both performative and sincere. Runners delivered a list of the wounded and deceased to the throne hours ago. But it is a tradition for Krasian mothers to hold their tears until they see the remains of their fallen sons in the flesh. The Avija says souls on the lonely path can lose their way on the mist-cloaked path from the mortal realm to the gates of heaven. A warrior with tear bottles in his hands is said to have a lighted way, and can add them to the balance when Everarm weighs his spirit. Iraven needs all the help he can get. He will arrive in the wake of the far nobler souls he sent down the lonely path before him. My companions and I stand patiently through the display. At one point, Belina's eyes flick our way, an invitation to join her. Iraven was my brother, and Rojva's uncle. Arik's relation is more removed, but there is blood shared. Tradition dictates we mourn as family, but Rojva and Arik do not budge, taking their cues from me. It would be easy to join the performance. Crying on command was a trick Grandmum taught me early. But as a man, I am not expected to give even that much. All it would take is some small act, a bow or a single knee, a hand on Belina's shoulder. Night, I could just look sad and stare at the floor. But I can muster no emotion for my brother. His last moments were perhaps the only sincere ones we ever had. Alagaikar's influence or not, I cannot bring myself to mourn the man who murdered Chadan and Mika, who led my spear brothers into the waiting talons of the Alagai. I keep my head up and my eyes straight ahead, refusing even the barest gesture. It is a deep insult, and I can feel tension rising in the room the longer it goes on. At last, the wailing and crying dies down, and Eleveran signals Dharma Marok to approach the litter bearing my prince's shrouded form. Chadan's Dalting mother is not allowed at court, so the wailing will come later. I wonder what Marok will do when he sees his only son lying dead. But the Dharma has too much dignity to show emotion like a woman. He lifts the shroud, examining the body without a hint of emotion. He turns to Eleveran and bows. It is him, Damaji. Sitting on high, Damaji Eleveran acknowledges the death of his grandson with little more than a solemn nod. I want to scream, to wail like Belina, and force them to honour him. Chadan did everything these men ever asked. He was a perfect son, and they did not deserve him. If this is what it means to be a Krasian man, I don't understand why I ever wanted any part of it. But it doesn't matter if his own family did not love him enough. Chadan already has my tears to guide him to heaven. When the last tear is scraped from Belina's cheek, she rises from her knees with a viper's grace, gliding two steps until we lock stairs. You can pay your brother no honour, even with him dead at your hand. I consider denying it, but Belina's hand drops to her horror pouch, a reminder of the dice within. Do not lie. Everam has already whispered me truth. Dharmating father taught me the dice whisper only a fraction of the truth, I say loudly. Did they tell you Iravan asked me to help him onto the lonely path? The blade was the honour I owed him, and it was paid. Tssst! Belina's hand darts into her horror pouch, removing the small replica of my armlet. Before she can begin to squeeze, I reach over and prick my finger on the little spear, opening the bloodlock. I cast the armlet to the floor, but pocket the spear, still wet with my blood. Belina's brows tighten. The cuff can be replaced. Try it, I growl, and the beating Mika gave you will feel like a gentle massage. The other Dharmating tssed and gasp at that, eyes flicking to Belina. News of the defeat will shame and weaken her in the estimation of her fellow priestesses, the only estimation that truly matters to a Dharmating. It might even cost her the black veil. The only way to save face would be to meet my challenge. Indeed, Evesian law allows a Dharmating to kill any Sharum who offends her, and if I were to fight back, the sentence for striking a bride of Everam is death. Still, Belina is wise enough not to take the bait. Eleveran is the real power here, and he has not given her leave. I am playing a dangerous game, making an open enemy of her, but like her son, Belina was always my enemy. The time for pretending otherwise is over. Enough! Eleveran's left finger gives an irritated flick. Belina steps back to join the Dharmating Council, but her hate-filled eyes do not leave mine. I turn away instead, dismissing her as I turn to face the Damaji. We were lenient the last time you stood before us, Prince Olive, Eleveran says. But instead of keeping your word and your honour, you murdered Drillmaster Chika, ran from justice, and now both the princes of Marja are dead. Tell me why I shouldn't execute you here and now.
Prince Olive. Is that who I am? Not always, perhaps, but here before the Skull Throne, it feels right. Krasian men only truly respect their own, and now that I have their respect, I will accept nothing less. I return his cold appraisal with a lofty gaze to do even Mother proud.
You're not going to execute me.
Still insolent.
Dimaji Ting Chavis has taken her customary place atop the sixth step.
You,
tssst, I cut her off, and have to suppress a smile as the old woman's eyes go wide. If they want me to be a man, I will be one.
I speak of Alagai Sharak, Dimaji Ting. This is men's business. While you waited in the safety of the holy city, I went to the abyss and put a knife in the father of demons. I will tolerate no more of your disrespect.
The silence that follows is heavy. Chavis shakes at my audacity, but I am right, and she knows it. Even the most powerful woman in Krasia must be respectful of a warrior bathed in glory. At last, Eleveran raises a finger, and the Dimaji Ting steps back.
Why is that, young prince?
Because you cannot afford another war, I say. If you hold my friends and me, or harm us in any way, the armies of Theza and New Krasia will descend upon you. The Great Gate is breached, Dimaji. Your city is in ruins. Even if the oasis can feed those who remain, you do not have the warriors to defend the holy city. The only logical recourse is to supply us for a desert crossing and let us go. The Dimaji's eyes narrow.
Why would Irathan ask for death?
Because he never sealed the breach 2 moons ago, I say. He was taken by Alagai Kaa and became the father of demons' agent in the day.
Impossible, Eleveran says. The power of the holy city would have broken even the hold of the Alagai king.
I shake my head. The father of lies can implant suggestions that blind his victim's will, even when their minds are returned to protection. Dharma Marok scoffs. How can you know this? I want to punch him in his condescending face. If he had half the courage of his son, he would know firsthand. Because it is in the accounts of my father, I say instead. Arman Asu Hoshkamin Amjadir, the Shah Dharma Ka. Written into the sacred texts after his victory in Sharak Ka and return from Ni's abyss. The words are a reminder of who I am, but more important, they are a reminder of who the Maja are. The tribe that abandoned the Deliverer's army before the final sallies of Sharak Kaa. And because I threatened to interfere with Alagai Kaa's plans, I add, Irathan sent Chikga to kill me. Then yesterday, the Sharum Kaa led his warriors into a trap.
Lies, Marok says. What proof do you have that it wasn't you who took the chance to rid yourself of rivals?
I turn to look at Zim. The drill master waits for a nod from Eleveran, then steps forward and kneels before the Skull Throne, placing his hands on the floor.
Rise, honored drill master Zim, Eleveran says. Speak your truth, for Everarm to judge.
Zim rolls smoothly back onto his heels, rising to stand at full height before the Dimaji. Like all of us, he is covered in blood and ichor. Marks of great honor in the Temple of Heroes' Bones.
The Sharum Kaa was like a brother to me, Dimaji. His glory was boundless. But I swear by Everarm and my hope of heaven that he deceived us and led us into ambush. It is only because of Prince Olive that any of us returned alive. It was Olive who struck Alagai Kaa down while the rest of us lay beaten. It's not precisely true, and I feel Selen bristle beside me as her own contribution is erased, but no one contradicts Drillmaster Zim.
Will the other men attest to this?
Elevran asks. Zim nods. They will, Demaji. And if Olive Asu Aman is not their next Sharum Ka, he chooses his next words carefully. I do not know who else the Sharum will accept. That surprises me. I know it is true of the Prince's unit, and perhaps what remains of the Spears of the Desert, but I did not realize my name carried such weight among the Sharum at large. A lump forms in my throat. Elevran scowls.
They will accept who the Skull Throne decrees, Drillmaster, and no other.
Zim bows again. Of course, Demaji. I meant no disrespect, only to convey what Prince Olive means to his spear brothers. Elevran nods, dismissing the Drillmaster with a flick of his finger.
It appears the prophecy was true, Prince Olive.
Perhaps, I say, or perhaps you made it true, by stealing me from my home and bringing me here. Regardless, my fate is fulfilled, and I call upon you to keep your promise and give back the life you stole.
What could your Greenland life offer?
Elevran asks.
To tip the balance against the white turban and throne of Sharum Ka. As the Drillmaster says, there is no other warrior to match your glory and lineage, and Desert Spear requires a first warrior, now more than ever. Stay and enjoy the fruits of your victory.
For a moment, that life flashes before my eyes. It is a life of honor, but it is not my life. I don't want the spear throne, or any throne, though one awaits me at home as well. No, I say, drawing breaths of surprise from around the room. Has any warrior in history ever turned down the spear throne? I keep my eyes on Elevran. The others do not matter. Alagai Ka is not dead, Demaji. I do not think any mortal can truly kill the father of demons. I must look to my homeland, as you must yours. Rojvar takes a step forward, standing just behind me. As we rehearsed, I take a step back to match her. Elevran raises a brow.
You have something to add, girl?
Rojvar takes two steps forward, bowing. My grandmother, the Demaja, sent me with a message. Had we been received with civility, I would have conveyed it then. But I will offer it now. The lines on Elevran's face deepen as he flicks a finger in permission. Charvis looks like she just sucked a lemon. The Demaja hereby divorces Dharma Tingbelina, expelling her from her circle of sister wives. The news is enough to make even the Dharma Ting gasp. With that decree, the last tie of blood between New Crasia and Old is severed, weakening Belina's power even further. If the Demaji wishes to send new ambassadors to the Deliverer's Court in good faith, Rojva adds, they will be welcomed and can begin negotiations for trade and military support.
What makes you think the Maja need the traitor's court?
Marok asks. As I did before, Rojvar never takes her eyes off Elevran, responding as if it had been the Demaji who spoke. I leave it in your wisdom, Demaji, to decide what is best for your people. I bear the offer only. The Demaji stares at her for a moment that seems to stretch in time, and then at me. At last, he whisks his hand like mother excusing me from the dining table.
Go then.
Dharma Marok betrays a hint of emotion now, as he turns to face his father,
But the Damaji turns a palm to him, and any protests die on his son's lips.
You will have whatever is required for your journey,
Eleveran says,
and our thanks.
I nod, but I do not bow, before turning on my heel and striding out of the chamber, my friends following behind. Mika's body waits outside in the hall, not worthy to have been taken before the throne. Part of me wants to bring her body back to Hollow and her wife Kendall, but I think in her heart, Sharik Hora is where my sister would want to be interred. Here, in the place she was raised, the halls and passages she knew like her own body. Her bones, and Chadan's, bleached like those of their ancient ancestors, added to those of countless generations of heroes before them, protecting the holy temple with their golden magic. The blood I share with my sister is enough to open the bloodlock on her choker. I cannot sing as she did, but I claim it. All that I have of hers. I take her marriage earring as well, to give to Kendall when I return home. Selen puts an arm around me, and I lean in as she squeezes. Can't believe she's gone. Hard to believe anything that's happened these last months, I say. We may be going home, but nothing will ever be the same. Not who we are, nor the place we'll return to. With no one left to define me, I will have to define myself. I think your mum was right, I say.
Eh, don't ever say that, Selen says.
What about? The time for secrets is over, I say. We're going to have to make some changes when we get home. Selen squeezes me tighter. High time.